that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And we welcome you to this frosty morning here at the Radio Ranch. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Richard and Jason and everybody.
And we do say good morning to everybody else. Good morning to the remnant. We know you're joining in with us up this Saturday morning. Got your coffee poured and your Bibles open. And we do thank you for joining us. And we'll have the phone lines open here in a little bit. But we always like to start out with a word of prayer. I don't think you can start any better than that. And we sure try to do that. Jason, we'll ask you if you would open us up in prayer this morning.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we're grateful to be able to come before you. And we ask, Father, that you continue to guide us and direct us in the paths of righteousness, that you forgive us of our sins as we come before your throne. And today, Father, and throughout this week, we just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us and ask to be forgiven of our sins, known and unknown. Father, we ask that you do continue to show us where we've been deceived and we repent of our sins. And yes. Dear Heavenly Father, as our enemies make an uproar against us in this land, and Father, we know that it's on many different fronts, Father. We ask that we are protected, and we pray that you put on us that supernatural protection, Father, that only you can grant to us, and we claim that, and we ask that we have that on, Father, and that we walk in that, Father, that we can walk in the holy boldness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we can walk in and be a light into a dark world, Father. We pray that you just assist us, Father, in this battle that's before us, Father. We pray, as our King David prayed, that you train our hands for battle, Father, and that you guide us, direct us, Father. We pray that you quicken us in our spirit, Father. Give us more of that Holy Spirit in our lives. We pray that you strengthen us and help us to discern the battles that we are to fight, Father. We pray that you grant us discernment, that you help us to have it, Father. Help us to recognize a tare from a wheat and yours from theirs, Father. We know that there's a difference. We recognize that. We ask that you Just give us the discernment that we need, Father. We pray that we can be a blessing to who we need to be a blessing to. And, Father, you know who and you know when and you know where, Father. And we just ask for that Holy Spirit in our lives, Father, that we can discern who we're to help and who we're not. Who's our enemy, who's our friend. We pray, Father, that you just bless us this day, bless our conversation, help us to have a sweet fellowship, Father, as we come before you and ask for your blessing upon it. And we pray that and ask for blessings from your throne, Father. We pray in these times that you see to it that we have plenty, that our cup overflows with blessings from your throne, that you take away from our enemies and those that target us, Father, that you bring them down. You know each and every one of them. You know who they are. You know their plots. We pray that you deliver us from the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, and the forces that come against us. Deliver us from the conspiracies of men and the schemes of the devil. Jesus, you know who they are, and you know how they're fighting and warring with us. We ask for them to be the ones that are entangled in the snare that they set for us, Father. For them to be the ones that fall into the pit that they dig for us. We pray this in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we thank you for it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I felt that. Needed that this morning. Well, again, we do say good morning. Well, Tim, how are things over in Nebraska?
Well, it's a little chilly here this morning. I think you've got us beat, but it definitely is long sleeve jacket weather, and it's good to see that come around, and it's refreshing. Jason and I were talking about a little earlier about how that feels good in the morning. Been busy here, lots going on, getting ready for fall, and you know, you start thinking about the snow flying and things, but been blessed, really have just been abundantly blessed, and the Lord's keeping us going, so we're thankful for that.
Amen.
Well, that's good.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Been getting to talk to some people. I thought it was interesting. Jason's prayer, I kind of was just looking at my Bible last night, and, you know, 1 John 4:4 says that we're from God and have overcome them, the people that aren't from God, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And it talks about testing the spirits, and I just... It never ceases to amaze me, with absolutely very little pre-planning on some of those sort of things, how those all dovetail together and how the Lord works that out. I mean, it just, we've already won the victory, and I go through there, and I like to read those kind of things, because sometimes we need to be reminded that the victory's already our Lord's. We're on the winning side, and
Amen.
We're going forward in his name, and just, you know, praise the Lord for that. So,
amen.
Try to get yourself pumped up about that and get excited about it. That's what I feel like I read that, and it gives me that hope and that you know, belief in the future that we've got that coming. So, I thank the Lord for that when I get an opportunity to see that. And that prayer was awesome. So
yeah, it was encouraging, and we need that at times. You know, we certainly do. It is. I know the word is encouraging, and you're right. That prayer was encouraging this morning. It was. And we have to remember that we toil on. We struggle. We have the worries of the world that come upon us as well. But we have to overcome those things, and we have to remember that. Wait a minute. These aren't the important things. These aren't the things that are lasting.
Temporary.
They're just temporary. And hey, we're not. It may seem like we're losing the battle, but no, the battle's already been won. And you know, that old devil starts reminding us of things where we have to remind him of what his future is and what's waiting for him.
Amen.
And it's not near. It's not near as good as what's waiting for us.
That's right.
Well, I've tried to just stay away from the news.
On another news, I noticed this week, and I want to thank Patrick for all the good articles that he's been sending over to me. But, you know, this was this week, Office Depot, they backed down and apologized. And basically is what had happened. If nobody knows what happened with them earlier on, I think it was probably about 2 weeks ago, a pro-life advocate went into an Office Depot and wanted some flyers printed, and basically she was a pro-lifer, and was printing some pro-life material, had some scriptures and some prayers on it, and was denied printing it because they said that that it went against corporate policy, that they could not print anything that was pro-life because it might offend some pro-deathers, and so they refused to print the order. Well, I guess I'm not sure exactly what happened because it sure didn't sound like they were taking any heat over it, but I imagine that they were. I know that I called the corporate headquarters and left some messages there, posted the story about every place I could, and you know, let it be known that I wasn't going to buy anything at Office Depot. If they, you know, it's supposed to be free enterprise, they'll print stuff for pro-deathers, for homosexuals, for queers, but they won't print something for somebody that's a pro-lifer. You know what? I can find another place to do business.
Yep, that's
right. And they came around, they turned around, they apologized, they printed the material, they said that that was a mistake and that they would take care of it, and apparently they did. So they must have got some heat over it, but it was for them to turn around and come around and actually do a public apology to a customer, and you know, I'd say that was a win. They must have got some heat over it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
glad to hear that. It is. That's those type of things are encouraging.
Go ahead, Richard.
My apologies, but those things are encouraging as well. When you see, you know, maybe it was just that employee at that branch or the management at that branch, and not, you know, not the way the.
It could be.
You know, and then once it makes it up there, maybe somebody said, "Hey, wait a minute, this is not right. This is not the way we want to be represented." There's still some companies that, you know, that realize that you know, the majority of people in the country don't approve of all this sin in the land, and that I think you're right. I think they took some heat for it, and I'm hoping they just thought, "Hey, wait, this is the right thing to do, to apologize and sure, we'll print this for you." So anyway, go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, and that's what you hope to, but you just don't know. You know, and there's no telling. You know, I mean, I looked at some of the flyers that this pro-lifer was trying to get printed, and you know, I didn't necessarily agree with what they were trying to print. I mean, they were trying to do what they thought was good, and they were trying to do it. But you know, basically, it was exposing this Planned Parenthood for a lot of what it was doing. But then in the flyers, you know, it was basically a prayer for their for them to repent. And you know, I think there's some in there that can repent, maybe, and maybe not. That's right. The way I look at it. I don't know. Yeah. But it was somebody that was trying to do something, and so, hey, you know what? You gotta, you know, you can't just, well, I know that we talked about it when they banned it and they wouldn't print it for them, so, you know, I figured that we better, you know, tell everybody that it changed. And,
sure.
And, you know, so. So that was one of the things that I wanted to start off with. Another thing was, did anybody see what the Stockton Police Department, all the fire that they're under right now?
Was that in regard to that jaywalking incident over there?
It was.
Oh yeah, I did see a little bit about that. So, go ahead, Bill.
It's interesting because they're taking a lot of heat over that, you know, and they should. I mean, you know, 16-year-old boy jaywalking, you know, four police officers on him, arresting him, you know, proud to be an American or what? I mean, it's just to watch the video, it's sad, you know, and a lot of people, I recognize that a lot of people are just starting to realize where we're at in America, you know. I mean, I witnessed, me and my, you know, 4-year-old son witnessed somebody getting arrested for not having their dog on a leash.
Exactly.
You know, and so it's one of those things is it, nothing surprises you anymore, but when you see things, you know, you have a hatred for it, and if you don't, then you really got to make some changes in your life. But you know, when you see four officers taking down a 16-year-old boy and arresting him and taking him to jail, it just, you know, it gives you that warm and fuzzy feeling inside that makes you just be so proud of where your tax dollars are going.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that the violent crime of jaywalking, you can get beat with a stick, and yes, you definitely need all those people, all those officers on top of you, and all of the stress and abuse of that for a jaywalking offense. I mean, that just seems, that's satire. I mean, but it's such a violent crime, you know. I mean, wow. Yeah, we see quite a thing with this, and of course the response that you get from a lot of these large, and we seem more insulated from that here, I've got to admit, than a lot of what I see come in. But we just see a lot of these things going on, and at the same time they want to say how dangerous and how treacherous their job is. But I see a lot of statistics coming through that show that actually police officer injuries and deaths are way, way down and continuing to go down. As a matter of fact, it ranks as one of the safer jobs in the United States. So that's an interesting, you know, correlation with what they say and what we see going on there. It's not a case of danger. It's a case of overlordism and some of that kind of stuff. So it's
And the thing is you know, I hope and I'm sure that there probably is some good ones out there. Maybe not. I don't know. I know that the more you have to do with them, the more you realize that.
Yes.
You don't want to have anything to do with them.
It's almost like a spirit. Isn't it, Jason? Would you say that it's almost like a spirit that they seem to have? Or is it just me?
Yeah, they do. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They have a spirit about them. They have these, I don't know, complexes about them. And, you know, I mean, here in Colorado, we've had people that were, you know, attacked by... I was reading them the other day. A friend of mine brought some over and wanted me to read them. And it was, you know, there was a man in Colorado that was raised an elk not too far from here. And this wasn't recent. This was, a year or so ago. And he was pinned on the top of his vehicle. He was going in to feed his elk. And there was a wild bull elk that came in and surrounded him. It was in the rut, and it was in the rut season, and he got on top of his vehicle. And basically, he went from one side of the vehicle to the other side of the vehicle and could not get... had dropped his keys, and this elk was chasing him, and it went on for about 6 hours. He was completely exhausted by a 6-hour point, and his wife showed up, and he said, you know, kill this thing. She shot it, killed it, and you know, they called the Department of Wildlife, and they go to jail. You know, there was another incident where, you know, they ended up getting out, but it cost them thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. and the loss of hunting privileges. There was another one where somebody was attacked by a bear, and they were they shot the bear, and they ended up going to jail, and they got out, but it was thousands and thousands of dollars, and loss of hunting privileges, loss of a lot of rights, forfeits of guns, and you know, it's gotten to the point where you can't even defend yourself from, you know, from these, from a wild animal. And you know, I was at a gun club meeting, and they brought in an officer to talk and a Department of Wildlife officer to talk. And I said, okay, so I said, tell me, how does it work if, you know, if I'm attacked by a bear and I shoot it and I kill it, you know, I'm not allowed to defend myself? And they said, well, you better have claw marks on you. And that was their response. You better have claw marks on you, you know, when I come to see you, if you call me. And I'm like, well, the general idea would be to kill the SOB before it got that far.
Exactly.
And they looked at me and they said, well, you know, they said, if it was me, I'd sure want to see claw marks. And I'm like, you guys are dumb. You know, I didn't say that, but, you know, it's one of those things, is that how far we've gotten where a person can't even defend themselves in this so-called free country?
I'd have to say, yep. Yeah, it is. It is. You know, it's like that when you take self-defense classes, when you take firearms classes. You know, they let you know, listen, if you use your firearm to successfully defend yourself against someone because you're in fear of your life, plan on getting arrested, plan on your gun being taken away from you, your firearm, and hope you have a lawyer on retainer. You know, I mean, they tell you that. It's an insane time that we're living in. It absolutely is. In every aspect. You know, you think that this police mess is just in the big cities, but it's not. It's everywhere.
No, it is. Yeah. There's a lot of things. And some life is, it was kind of like to go back to the Home Depot thing, and it ties in with this too. Some life's worth more than others, and some business is worth more than others, evidently from Office Depot's standpoint as well. I mean, they take this side of the reference point that some things are worth more, and it seems to be a profit motivated scenario. I mean, a lot of times to me, just like, or we're talking about when you're arrested in a case, just like what you were talking about, Richard, even if you were in the right, you still had to lay down thousands of dollars at the very least in order to protect yourself, defend yourself, hire an attorney, not to mention the inconvenience of and turmoil in your life, of your work and your job,
sure,
and all those. So it's as long as it makes whatever way that's set up, it seems to be to allow them to, what do you want to call it, harvest some money off of the...
It absolutely does. I think Jason's brought it up in the past, how it feeds their racket. You know, they're not...
Yeah.
They really aren't concerned if you're innocent or guilty. They really aren't.
Right or wrong.
It's right or wrong.
Uh-huh.
Right, they're not. It's a law. The law has been violated. The law says, you know, you can't discharge a firearm in the city limits. And you did. Yeah, but the guy was hitting me with a crowbar. Well, the law says, so we are arresting you for discharging a firearm in the city limits. There's no common sense. It's just the law. And it comes from us disobeying another law. You know, God said, you don't like my laws? I'll give you a set of laws. You don't like mine. And that's what we have. That's why we have, 10,000 new laws every year? People don't even know the laws we have in there. We're probably breaking the law right now. Who knows? Well, guys, we do have a caller, so I think it's late enough in the program. We'll bring a caller on. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, guys. This is Dee from Oklahoma again.
Good morning, Dee.
I had to call in. I need to take a bit of issue with you guys on the cops there. What you said about law reminded me of what John Locke said that our founding fathers follow quite a bit, is where law ends, tyranny begins. So while, yes, following laws to the letter in some cases can get ridiculous, if we drop the laws, we end up in tyranny. And with the police, it may be something minor like jaywalking or skateboarders, even loud music or something like that. But someone has complained, and then the officer is called out. And when they get there, they have to deal with the people. And if the people get unruly or smart aleck, the officer still has to do his or her job. And so you could start out with jaywalking, but if the kid is being a smart aleck and won't let the officer do his or her job, the officer has to affect the arrest. And in order to do that, the kid starts to resist. The officer has to use not only equal force, but a little more force to affect that arrest. And as an old partner of mine said...
Hey, we're talking about four officers on one kid.
Well, but let me...
That's a little more than... I mean, I think that if one officer wanted to arrest him, he could and should be able to. But we're not talking about a little more force. We're talking about, four times at least.
Well, I was going to tell you, my partner and me were working security at a theater, national kind of theater, and a kid was running into theaters, making noise. And of course, he'd run into one and interrupt the movie, run into another. We tried and tried and tried to get him to leave, and he wouldn't leave, so we bring out the handcuffs, and the fight's on. Now, this one kid... He was about 15 or 16. It took six of us. One security officer had just gotten back from Iraq. He was in shape. He was an Army guy. My partner was 6'6". And there were about five or six of us on him. I sprayed him. He was still fighting us. And one of the managers said, people were gathering and saying that poor child. We were in a fight for this kid to try to just get handcuffs on him. And he was on something crazy, whatever it was, but it took that many officers to do that. And I talked to my partner later, and I said, why do people not understand? I mean, we were sweating, we were fighting, and he was all out resisting. And he said, because violence isn't pretty, even when you're trying to do good, to stop someone from doing something wrong. And I think what happens is, people haven't been in it. They haven't seen what it takes to take someone down who's resisting. It's not like TV. And so they automatically turn against the officer. And I think, it takes having to really be out there and see it and actually experience it to see that it can. And multiple times in my career, it took multiple officers at times. Even females. I remember a police chief said the worst beating he ever got was from a little female. So, I just would caution everyone to, not that there aren't bad cops, there are, but to jump to conclusions until they've actually been in a fight like that.
Yeah, Dee, I think the main emphasis is on the abuse of that power. And there are certainly, as you said, there are some good police officers out there, but it sure seems like, and it's, I think it's quite evident that we're,
well, the more
we
I've had to do with
heading.
Them lately, the more, sure, more I don't like them, and I've had several dealings with them, and what I've learned in my personal experiences is they're dishonest, they're liars, and they abuse their power.
Some do, but you know what, if those guys weren't out there, you would have chaos. And what people don't realize when they're in their nice warm bed at night, what goes on out there. There is so much that goes on that the news never tells you, you don't see. and those officers are putting their lives, their bodies on the line. Later in their life, they're aching. They're like football players that get forgotten. They put their bodies on the line. They put their minds and souls on the line to keep the peace. And there are a lot of bad, bad guys out there, and women. And if those guys weren't there, this place would be nothing but chaos. And it's only getting worse with the drug.
Well, if it was that they were out there messing with the bad guys, but you know, the problem is they're messing with the good guys.
Yeah.
Well, and that's true, and that's why they're.
I mean, and that's and we're not saying that we got a problem with them when they're out there, you know, fighting the bad guys. But the problem is you've got a government that's discerning right from wrong and who is good and who is bad, and that's where we have a problem.
Well, the problem is that, just like with schools, the government is getting into relationships with the police, and they're giving them equipment, and they're wanting to tell the different departments what to do and have control over them, just like in education, and it needs to be localized. And a lot of officers have forgotten the phrase protect and serve.
Right.
Some want to protect, but they don't want to serve.
And, Dee, we see a huge thing in here. That's right. There is no more protect and serve. We've changed from that to law enforcement. And that's the thing, is because you have the ungodly that are causing or that are making these laws. Well, Dee, we've got another caller. Thanks for the comments.
Uh-huh.
Have a great weekend. And let's take this other caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers.
Good morning. I just wanted to make a comment about what you're talking about.
Sure. Where are you calling from?
Ohio.
Well, good morning, Ohio.
Just try to wrap your minds around this. What if that these cops you're talking about are not government employees but members of a corporation? Maybe these governments that we're always talking about really aren't governments at all, but just corporations. And according to the Clearfield Doctrine, as I understand it, when a government entity becomes a corporation, it drops to the same level as what you, the citizen, are, and therefore have no power over you whatsoever. But because they BS you, and because they're of their father, Satan, the devil, and that's why these cops are liars and murderers and everything else, is because they are of a corporation. And as far as I'm concerned, any corporation or government entity actually on this planet belongs to Satan, the devil, who is the god of this world. So, that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the comments.
Thank you.
Sure, interesting comments. And Jason, I think you made a real good one. That it's not the good police officers, and there are good ones out there, that are out there fighting the killers and the drug dealers and doing their best to come against those bad guys. And certainly there are a whole lot of them out there, but the system itself. We're seeing more and more, like you mentioned, Jason, we're seeing more and more of the abuse of powers. We're seeing more and more of just that spirit, you know. I can remember a few years ago, we had a little grass fire several years ago. You know, the young boys cleaned out the firebox and in the springtime, and the ashes got put outside, and they didn't put a lid on it, and the wind whipped it into the field and burned a little bit. And, of course, we got all the fire out. The sheriff's deputy has to come out and fill out a little report. And you know, it was I know the man that came out is the sheriff's deputy, a local guy here. He's since retired, lives about 2 miles away, and just a great guy. And you know, when he came out, he talked to the young man and asked what happened, and the young man told him, and he said, okay, well, you know, just don't do that anymore. And that's that. And you think, okay, there's the little, you know, that's the protect and serve type of thing.
Exactly.
Well, you know, we had that happen again recently, and certainly an accident. And you know, but different sheriff's officer comes out, and you know, just a whole different attitude. A whole different, you know, it's, you know, as he's speaking to the young man, well, I could write you a summons for this, and I could write you a ticket for this, and I'm doing you a favor by not doing that, because that would be really bad. And You know, and it's just kind of, it's what we talked about earlier. It's a spirit. And you have these, like the last caller said, these children of the devil that gravitate toward these positions because they can, because they can carry a gun, because they think they have power over you. And a lot of people, they do have power over. A lot of people will just cower down. But it's that's the ones we're talking about, I think, is this abuse of power. It's just a symptom of this entire system that has come upon us because, as God's Word says, when we forget Him, He forgets our children. We're reading that in Hosea right now in the Bible reading plan. When we turn away from Him, we're not going to live in a vacuum. We're not going to live without laws. We're not going to live without a king, without a government. If God says, hey, if my people aren't going to live with me as king and ruling over them, then I'll send them into exile, and I will put the ungodly over them, and that's right where we're at. And Jason, I'm glad you brought that up this morning, because we're seeing it more and more, not just in New York City, but everywhere.
Where we're at is, you know, it's in a sad state, and when you're going to have problems is you have an ungodly government. You know, I think we can all agree that our government is an ungodly government. And they're the ones that are deciding what is right and wrong. You know, and it, you know, you can't have it. Basically, you know, they have come against God's law. You know, God's law is a perfect law.
Yes.
There's nothing that's going to be better than that. And, you know, God's law says homosexuality is wrong. And the government that we have set up that is over us today says, no, it's okay. God's law says it's illegal. Man's law says, oh, it's legal. You know, so we've got to recognize that there's a conflict there. And I'm, and the point that I'm trying to get across is that's when you're going to have problems. When you have problems is, and that's why we're seeing the things that we're seeing. We shouldn't be surprised.
Right. Jason, you mentioned you had a friend that was arrested because his dog was not on a leash. And the way that came about, you know, I think anybody in their right mind would think, you know, are there not enough murderers on the loose and kidnappers and killers and thieves and all that in Fort Collins, Colorado, for the police to be busy enough with that to not have to worry about sending two police officers?
That's what I told him. I said, why don't you go check on some pedophile rapists or something?
Yeah, are there not enough crimes going on that they have to send two officers with a shall arrest order to someone who paid the fine when their dog got loose, paid the fine, but couldn't make the court appearance and told the court that. And so you're right. But that person in this ungodly system, you know, that person's a criminal. We demanded you do this, and you didn't do it. And so to them, that person is a criminal because they follow a different law. Tim, you had something. Sorry.
Well, and all of that goes back to intent. I mean, that's the thing. Do you and intent, the Bible talks about, you know, as a man's heart is, and it goes back to intent. The intent of the person who lit the fire, whose dog got off the leash or whatever, was that a purposeful, was the intent of that to cause damage or, you know, to create, to wreak havoc or whatever? And, you know, it's the same way with the police. What's their intent? Is their intent to arrest you, to make money, to lord it over you, to all these things? And when you look at the intent of the purposes of that, you know, that's what God sees, and we're to be like God. We should be looking for that intent. Oh, it was an accident. It wasn't intentional. It was a misunderstanding. It was whatever. But a lot of times they don't look at that. They look at the administrative law or the corporate law,
right,
or Ohio caller said to me, you know, and it's strictly their intent is well, this ruling is ironclad. It was broken. This is an opportunity for us to make money and justify our position and do a lot of other things.
Yes.
And definitely, if the intent of someone is to do damage or cause issues, then that's different than an accidental. It's like killing the elk, like Jason was talking about earlier. That was a life in danger. The intent there was to protect himself, not to shoot an elk out of season, or not to do it for fun, or any other small-minded thing. So, and I think a lot of times that that's a critical measuring stick. What's the intent of that?
And, right. But that's how that's God's law, and that's what we read in there. What is the intent of the heart? You know that hey, your intentions are to be good. You know, your fruits are to be good. Your intentions are to be good and not evil. You know, set your heart to do evil or to do good and not evil. Sow righteousness, you know, and good things.
Yes.
But that works. That's part of that perfect law of liberty that you mentioned, Jason. And that works. However, that's not what we have today.
No, that's not. That's by far and large, and the majority of the intent that we see is not that way in regards to a lot of these other things. I mean, so, it's definitely a way to check that out, and we're behooved to look at that. I mean, it's just like that case that, Jason was talking about there in California with that young man who was jaywalking. His intent was to get across the street, and there was no resistance. There was no anything else. He just wanted to go about his business, you know. And I ask you, no one was injured. If if everyone would have ignored him, he'd have walked over and got on his bus and been gone.
Right.
You know, there was no.
Right.
So the intent of that was to make some money, create a scene, and do that. And it's pretty obvious when you see that.
And couldn't it have been handled by, hey, buddy, guess what? There's a crosswalk at the end of the street. You're going to get hit by a bus if you don't cross down there, okay? So cross down there next time. You know, now maybe that's
nice
been
day.
Done 20. Yeah, maybe that, yeah, have a nice day. Maybe that's been done 20 times. No, it's not. It's the different attitude. It's the attitude of, hey, bud, you broke the law. And me and my backup, we're gonna teach you a lesson. You know, the wrong intent is there. The way we would look at it, now they'd look at it as the right intent. You know, they have the right intent. They're getting criminals off the street. it's you know, and then you have that, and then on the other hand, you have these, you know, what does seem to be an all out and out war on police officers from blacks. And that gets very little media play, very little. It flares up for a day or two. You'll have blacks that'll walk up and just shoot cops in the back of the head, shoot policemen in the back of the head, and shoot them 10 times. It gets a little bit of play, and that's it. You know, because of the racial undertones or overtones or however you want to say it. So it's lawlessness. Of a type the Bible talks about. There's certainly other types of lawlessness that the Bible talks about, but it's absolute lawlessness that we're seeing.
And I think a lot of people say, well, you don't really know where to start with all this. You know, how do you handle this or that? And it's like God's Word.
You go back
the Bible
to the,
will
right.
make sense out of it.
Yes.
That's the divining line is there. I mean, when you go back to that, it begins to, you can clear it up.
Yeah.
You know, but we will return to that. I mean, that's what First John says. We're going back to that, and that's what First John 4 is about, is testing the spirits. It's coming. So praise the Lord for that.
It is. And in our Bible reading plan, if the people would go back and read the Bible, they will see why. We're reading Hosea 1-7 is in the Bible reading plan today, and Hosea 7. Verse 13 says, woe to them, for they have strayed from me. Destruction is theirs, for they have rebelled against me. And the theirs is the us. Destruction is us, his people. Because as a people, we've strayed from him. We've rebelled against him. And, you know, Jesus Christ said, I came to bring life and life abundantly. That hasn't changed from the time of Hosea. You know, God said, and you know, it seems like we keep going back there to Deuteronomy 28. If you will obey my voice, he says, and do what I tell you to do, you will be blessed going in and coming out. You'll be blessed in everything you do. You'll be protected. You won't have these criminals in your midst if you do what I tell you to do, if you follow my word. But because, as Hosea says, we've turned from him, we've rebelled from him, that's why we have these problems. So, Jim, you've got the answer there. How do we get back to it? Well, you tell me, folks, if you're listening, if you get these kind of answers anywhere else, we turn back to God's word. We turn back, and if his word says it, then that's what it is. It's as simple as that. You know, Hosea 4, in verse 4 says, yet let no one find fault, and let none offer reproof. See, there is no fault in his word. There is no reproofing his word. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you've forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. And, you know, we're fighting back from that. We're trying to, those of the remnant, those that have remembered his law, those that have heard our pastor for 33 years preach God's law to them. This still applies to you people. This is who you are, and this word applies to you. And this is why we have four police officers taking down a jaywalker. This is why we have godly Christian men being arrested because their dog is off a leash. This is why we have Christian families that are set up in the Fast and Furious program to be taken down and have their livelihood destroyed. This is why we have Christians that try to get things printed at Home Depot and they say no. We're glad they came back and said yes. But this is why, because we've forgotten his law. But the good news is you know, if 1 + 3 = 4, then 4 - 3 = 1. It's an equation. If then, it works both ways. So if we've forgotten the law of our God and he's forgotten our children, guess what? When we remember his law, when we remember his perfect law of liberty, when we remember that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word is God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and when we remember that that God says he does not change, and his promises in Psalms 103 are there, and his promises in Deuteronomy 28 are there, and his promises in John 3:16 are there, his word is there. So when we remember his law, when we remember it and we return to it and we apply it, yeah, we're not saying this, we're not going against grace and mercy. That's what allows us to come back to his law. That's what allows us to come back to him, is his grace and his mercy. But we have faith that his word is true. And so when we remember his law, guess what? He remembers our children. You know, when he remembers our law, when we remember his law, he remembers us. And he says, okay, now you've come back to me, I'll take care of things now. You know, we're like that with our children. And we're made in his image. When our children, if they've strayed, when they come back, you know, the story of the prodigal son, when they come back, well, we rejoice. We don't rejoice with them when they're in their sin, but when they come back and repent and return, well, we're like that father waiting on the prodigal son. And God is that way.
I think an important scripture to remember, too, is 2 Corinthians 3:17, and it's, you know, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Liberty.
Amen.
No, you're not going to have liberty. You're not going to have freedoms. You're not going to have any of this stuff that, you know, that we desire without having the Spirit of the Lord. And
that's right.
You know, that is what we've seen vanish from our land, is the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes.
And that's the Spirit of liberty right along with
that's
it.
What, yeah, and that's why that liberty's gone. Absolutely. Give that verse again to everybody, Jason. Again, if you would.
2 Corinthians 3:17.
Second.
You know, and it's a scripture that I've used a lot of times when I've t- talk to. I like to go to different meetings down here occasionally, and they have, you know, meetings. They want to talk about, you know, food freedoms or food liberties or, you know, the GMO debates and stuff like
right.
that. And, you know, I've gone to a lot of them, and they want to talk about liberty, liberty, liberty. And it's funny because several times they, you know, said, you know, what is liberty? And they want people to stand up and give a definition of liberty.
Oh, wow.
And that's always my response to 2 Corinthians 3:17, for the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Therefore, liberty is the Spirit of the Lord, and or where the Spirit of the Lord is.
Yep.
And, you know, it's interesting because every time I say that, I see people writing it down. You know, there's people that, you know, are pulling out, you know, people that haven't been taking notes, they'll pull that out and they'll write that down and they're going to go look that up. And, you know, it strikes a chord with them, you know, because there's something, there's a lot of people out there that are looking for something, they're looking for answers, but they don't know what the answers are, and they're not finding them. You know, they're doing a good job looking, but, you know, and I think like things like that are things that we can share and just throw out there, you know, that, you know, the right people, it's like planting seeds. You know,
absolutely.
some of them will sprout and germinate, come up,
absolutely.
And fruit.
Amen. It's at Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, but guess what? Guess what? When they get some knowledge, and knowledge is of the Lord, when they get that very thing, Jason, when they realize, wait a minute, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So if we want liberty, we can't go about it except to get the Spirit of the Lord and to bring Him back and to get His law back and His ways back and to turn to His will and not ours. Well, then guess what? Then they have some knowledge, and then they're not destroyed. You know, that's the hope. That's the good news of the gospel. It's not just that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for us to save us from our sins and from our sicknesses. That certainly is the good news. That's the best news there's ever been. But there's more to it than just that. Our pastor used to say, you know, he'd talk to people and they'd say, oh yeah, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. And he said, well, what are you saved from? Are you saved from, you know, the hand of those that hate you now? Are you saved from the enemies that want to destroy you and your children now? Are you saved from those GMOs? Are you saved from, you know, there's more to being saved than just what so many of those so-called Christians out there talk about, oh, I'm saved. There's knowledge out there, and our people are destroyed for a lack of it, and a big part of it is because they don't have the Spirit of the Lord. They don't seek it. They quench the Spirit when it does come, and we're not to do that. We are to embrace it and to return to Him, He says. Return to Me time after time. And when we do it in humility, in repentance, well, he's there willing to not have us destroyed when we turn back to His knowledge. And He's there to remember us and our children when we turn back to Him.
Amen. Well, and to speak back to our Ohio caller, you know, every town that has a post office in it in the United States is incorporated. And, you know, we see that all these cities are that way, and that corporatist philosophy matters because they call it a corporate veil. And the veil was torn when Christ died. Remember that? He
yes.
became our advocate, our propitiation for our sins. They set up a veil that separates them from God in those corporations. And I think we see, like Jason said, that spirit of liberty is not behind that corporate veil. You know, I mean, so you see those things going on there. I mean, what was it? GM had 175 deaths due to some malfunction in a car. But the corporate veil protects them. Nobody goes to jail. Banks do bad things. Nobody goes to jail. That's because they all have this corporate veil. But 1 John 2 says, I'm writing these things so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world, if they'll let Him be.
If they'll,
you know,
right.
So,
If they'll return to him.
By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments, if we follow his laws. So yes, those things all, that's part of the whole. When we are in God's kingdom, it's not the corporation of Jesus Christ, it's the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. And so, if we know him in that way, Tim, the thought occurs to me, if we know him because we keep his word, guess what? He knows us. So it may be one thing, people out there, if you think, oh, well, I know the Lord. Does he know you? According to how he says. You may say, oh, well, I know that famous person. Well, yeah, but do they know you? And see, we don't want him to say, depart from me, I never knew you. No, we want to know him, and we want him, and that's how. We want to know him, and we want him to know us. When we return to him, he knows us. Well, guys, we're about out of time. Wow, where'd that hour go?
It went by fast.
It did, but I'm out of coffee. I got a half thermos over here, and I'm out of coffee, and we're about out of time. And before we do run out of time, folks, we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. We encourage you to come to church with us. If you're not local, you don't have to get up and get dressed up. You can get up 10 o'clock Mountain Time, 11 Central, and noon on the East Coast. Join us at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. You can click right there and click on the live video stream. It'll let you choose if you want Flash Player Media. You can get it on your iPhone, your Android, your smartphone. There's many ways you can join us. You can tune in on the shortwave. And on Sunday mornings at that time, we can hear the WTWW shortwave schedule. That it will be on frequency 9.475, I do believe. I'm looking here. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Mountain. And so pretty much the daytime is 9.475. So you can join us on that frequency and come to church with us. We'll have some music. We'll have a scriptural insight or a review of the news. And we'll have an intro and communion, some praise and worship music, and we'll have a Holy Spirit-inspired message. And it's a way to fellowship with the saints and to not forsake the assembly and to honor the Sabbath. How about that? So we encourage you to do that. Well, guys, we're wrapping up here. Remnant, we thank you for joining us. Remember, we're dependent on your tithes and support to keep us going here, to keep these broadcasts going out. Our address, if you want to write, and we do ask you to write to us, we ask for your support and for you to write as well. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make 'em health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep moving, moving, moving. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Snake hide.
Moving, moving, moving.
disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.